Okay, so if you haven't heard the news yet, I've got a new book out called The Greatness Mindset. Unlock the power of your mind and live your best life today. It's coming out soon, and I'm pumped to invite you to be a part of the launch team for this book. This is a rare opportunity to get your questions answered and network with other champions of greatness in this exclusive community of conscious achievers. If you're ready to receive early access to the first few chapters of the book, behind-the-scenes updates from me, plus VIP access to bonuses and giveaways, then this is for you. For instructions about how to join this greatness launch team, make sure to go to lewishouse.com/launch team right now. Again, make sure to check it out at lewishouse.com/launch team right now.
This idea of like waiting to heal before you do the thing,
right.
That's like the opposite of living the urgent life.
Mm.
You know, because if you're constantly waiting until you are healed.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin. Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply. I don't know about you, but when around 3 p.m. hits, I find myself craving the right refreshment to get me through that mid-afternoon slump. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea is full-flavored sweet tea, but without the sugar and the calories. It might take several bottles for you to believe that a delicious sweet tea can really have zero sugar and zero calories. But you know what they say, life is full of surprises. Or in this case, full of flavor. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea. Try it to believe it. For 20% off your next 12-pack, head to Amazon and use promo code 20PureLeaf. That's promo code 20PureLeaf for 20% off. Okay, quick math. The less your business depends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite, and you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/greatness. netsuite.com/greatness. Again, head to netsuite.com/greatness.
I'm so excited about this because you've had such an amazing life and multiple careers in multiple industries at the highest level as, you know, head of marketing at pretty much every major company that people have ever heard of. So you've been around the block in life. You've been around the block and experiencing a lot of injustice in the world, but also injustices in relationships, heartbreak, pain, suffering, and also great success. So you've experienced a lot of great things while also dealing with dark times. And then the first thing I want to ask you is, how is your heart?
Wow. We started out? Well, you know, maybe it's no coincidence, right? There's a heart on the cover of my book.
Yes.
My heart is really good right now. It's really, really good. I feel very full.
Yeah.
You know, in my life, that there is so much that like you said, I've accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me feel proud.
Yeah.
There's so much that I have to look forward to in the future that I'm really excited about, even though it's unknown to me. I don't have a plan, mm-hmm. you know, but I feel really excited about it. I feel satisfied with like where I am, the age I'm at, the things I've done. Like I feel good. I feel really, really good.
Most people never feel satisfied, right? They don't feel satisfied in their career or their relationships or even if they've been successful, how much success they've had, they don't feel that fulfillment and satisfaction. Why do you think you've come to a place of satisfied?
Yeah.
While at the same time, you're not clear of what you're going to step into next.
Yeah. You know what? You just actually said something that brought back a memory. Because I don't mean to sound corny about it, but I think I've always been satisfied with where I am. You know, it doesn't mean that I don't have ambition. I've been very ambitious. I think you just look at my resume and you're just like, oh, yeah, this is an ambitious person, you know? But I've always felt very satisfied. And what you just brought up for me, the memory you just brought, is that I remember it was probably 2000, maybe 2001. I was in New York City. I was the assistant to Spike Lee at his advertising agency, Spike DEB. And I had just moved from Connecticut, where I had spent an extra year after graduating from college. And I was trying to figure out what to do. I was like trying to stave off medical school because that's where my dad wanted me to go and and I was, you know, grabbing coffee and making copies and just trying to stay out the way in the office, basically go where I needed to be. And but it was such a dream to be in New York and riding the subway and like sort of independence and trying to figure it out. Didn't have money to do anything.
Nothing.
No money at all. And I was working late one night and I was really late, like 9 or 10 o'clock. I was still in the office. And I remember the office manager said I could take a car service home instead of riding the train because I lived in Jersey City. And, you know, I had to take the subway to the fast train, cross the water, and walk home. Like it was an hour or something. Oh, man, it was a trek. And so I got a car service and it was one of those black cars, you know, and I sat in the back and it was my first time, like, you know, having
a nice car,
a nice car like that where I had a driver and they were like, you know, at that point I was unmarried. So are you Miss Arthur? And I was like, yes, you know, and I sat down and he's driving. And I remember rolling down the window and just like being like, God, life is really good.
Wow.
Life is really, really good. You know, and feeling very satisfied in that moment. It didn't mean that like I didn't have ambitions of one day ruling the planet.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
And having car services every day, whenever I wanted. You know, but I do remember, like, you just reminded me of that moment, feeling really satisfied. So even as I sit here today, I still have, you know, big dreams, big ambition. I don't know where it is I'm going, but I feel very, very satisfied with where I am.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm curious about, you're a very driven person. Mm-hmm. You've shown that over your whole career, right, in your life. Mm-hmm. Overcome a lot of different challenges and adversities and first time in so many different ways. When someone is going through a dark time, and however that looks for them, a breakup, a death, a letdown, any type of dark time in their life, is it possible to keep being driven in your career and your goals and your dreams when you're going through sadness and darkness and grief and loss without also being able to heal in on the process? Can you heal and be driven at the same time? Or is it only you can be driven because you're masking the pain and the suffering and you're not actually addressing it? Is it possible to do both, be driven in the darkness?
Well, that's what's so beautiful about this experience in life, right? Is that like we don't have to be one-dimensional, that all things can be true at the same time. You know, it's the reason why it's like I remember once shortly after Peter had died, I was sitting with a friend and she was telling me a story and I started laughing hysterically. You know, it was like,
after
it
he
was
died.
Like, it was like from my belly, you know, the kind of laugh that makes you want to fall over and slap something, you know, that kind of laugh. And then almost stopping short because I was like, oh, I'm supposed to be sad. You know, like I'm not supposed to laugh like this. But the truth of the matter is that like, isn't that what life is? You know, even when you're grieving, you can have belly laughs that take you out of that pain for however long that is. Maybe it's a second or maybe it's 5 minutes or maybe it's a few days. You know, so like if you're in a dark place, can you still be driven? Of course you can. You know, it's not a constant either, though, you know, where like being gentle with yourself and knowing that like even when you're in the darkness, there will be times when you don't feel like getting up. But it's not forever, you know? Or to feel badly that you're driven, even though you're going through something, you know? So, like, even when, yeah, it was like, when I decided to move from New York and take the next job, and people were like, shouldn't you be in a cave somewhere crying your eyes out? You know, like, why are you so ambitious? Sit down.
Right.
You know? And yeah, I did question myself too. Like, why am I not sitting down somewhere? Like, why am I still out here pushing? You know, like there have been many, many moments like that. And I don't think that there has to be only one definition for how we are. You know? So like, yes, if you're in a place where you feel like the textbook expectation should be that you should take one step at a time, take it one day at a time. I hate that phrase, by the way.
Instead of like, taking it one day at a time, what should we do?
Oh, we should take it all. Do everything. All at once. Make it messy. Make it unpredictable. Defy logic. Like, why does it have to be so ordered? One day at a time for what? One step at a time for what? Sometimes I'm gonna run. Sometimes I'm going to skip. Sometimes I'm going to go backwards. Sometimes I'm going to lay down. Sometimes I'm going to sit up and look at the world. And sometimes, yes, I will take one step. But why does it have to be so ordered all the time? And so the freedom in that, I think, allows us then to be multiple things at one time. So that, yes, you can be driven and in a dark place. You can be hurting and still laugh. You can be healing and still trying to figure out how to avoid the next hurt, you know? Like, all of those things can be true at the same time, and it doesn't have to mean that you're wrong or that you're doing it wrong. You know, it's like there's no definition for how you're supposed to live your life. And I think that's also the other beautiful thing. You know, the fact that, like, no one has ever been where I am before.
Right.
Not a person on the planet. You know, and so it's like, why would I subscribe to the steps somebody else thinks I should be ordered for me?
Right.
There's no plan.
Yeah,
like
no one
that.
Fully understands.
No one.
Your life experiences. They might be able to relate to some things, but they don't fully understand and comprehend everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there's so much freedom in that.
Yeah.
It's like you don't have to listen to anybody.
Right. Exactly.
You know. And so it's like, yes, you can be hurt and trying to heal, maybe taking the steps to healing. You know, whether that's therapy or you're working on something that you feel like, or taking a risk that you would have been fearful of before, but still like being driven about this thing, or like being, you know, like, okay, I'm going to accomplish this even though I'm not 100%. Like, that's the thing that always, like, I'm thinking about is that, like, again, you don't have to have a full tank of gas to get to the other side of town.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Maybe you had a quarter tank. And you know that it's going to take you, like, you know, just up to that, like, right at that corner to get there. You know, it's like, go anyway. Why does the tank have to be full?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So for me, I'm constantly thinking about that, like, I'm still in the process of healing. You know, that whole statement about, like, time heals all wounds, this is some bull. Okay?
It's interesting you say that, because I've got an emotional coach that I work with, I was telling you about.
Yeah.
Pretty much every 2 weeks. And she says, like, healing is a journey. It's not like a destination where you're like, okay, now I'm healed. It's, okay, now I've come to an awareness about the things. Mm-hmm. Now I've started processing it. Now I'm integrating the lessons. Now I went back 2 steps because I triggered again. Now I reintegrate and I process it some more. Mm-hmm. And time helps, but it may not heal all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's our constant awareness of it. Grace in the process of being a human being.
Yes.
Of it, you know what I mean?
Yes. You know, you just made me think of something, because, like,
this
idea of, like, waiting to heal before you do the thing,
right.
That's like the opposite of living the urgent life. You know, because if you're constantly waiting until you are healed, or you're constantly waiting until that next thing happens, or you get to the right spot, or then you won't be fulfilled in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I waited to be totally healed from the trauma of my husband dying, I would not have moved across the country.
Sure.
If I was waiting to be healed from the death of my first child, I would not be a mother today. You know, if I was waiting, like, all these things that we're waiting to accomplish, or waiting to be fixed, before you can do the next thing.
Sure.
It's just, it's like a waste of time.
Yeah, I think it's inspiring when we have the courage to do the next thing and be aware that we're on a healing journey.
Yes.
You know, I'm never going to be fully healed, but I'm in the process of it. I'm working on it. I'm doing this, and I'm going to do it anyways.
And there's no shame.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no shame in that. Uh-huh. You know? By the way, that's another, like, whole unlock that I had for myself and in my career, believe it or not, was that I opened this vulnerability that I had closed off before. You know, this idea of the perfection, that things had to be great and like complete in order to move to the next thing. And very quickly, I mean, I was kind of thrown into it when I accepted the job with Jimmy, that like I had no idea what music streaming was. I'd never done that before.
Uh-huh.
I was not an expert in it, but it didn't mean that I couldn't go do it. And guess what? I figured it out.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or like moving anything in my life, which has felt like, gosh, I need to like really have conquered this thing in order to move to the next one, has been a lie.
Right.
And it is actually how I counsel a lot of women, especially who are like early in their career or mid-career even, you know, that who are waiting to rack all the things before they take the next risk.
Right.
You know, I'm just like, yo, you know that like that actually doesn't work, right? Like you can't wait until like you've checked off every box before you jump to the next thing that you got to do. You got to leave some room for growth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your cup is, if it's all the way full, how are you going to put more stuff in it?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, right. You got to have a little bit open at the top in order to pour more experiences in there.
Right.
You know, so it's like, if you're ever just like full to the brim, if you've checked off everything, then there's no more growth for you.
Mm-hmm.
So as I even look at myself, that is where I am now, where it's just like, there is no more growth if you're all the way full. If you're checked off everything before you take the next risk, where are you going to put the stuff that you're getting?
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, it's like, leave the tank, like, quarter full.
Well, that's why I think it's really cool because in this off season that you're having in this last year, you're filling up your cup of your health and wellness. Mm. You're filling up your relationship cups.
Yes.
You're filling up your adventure and travel cups.
Yes.
You know, your relaxation cup. Mm. You're filling those up, but you're emptying your cup of career and success and this.
Yes.
To see the space of what can come in next.
That's right.
To see where you can grow into next.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a great analogy. It's like, you know, fill another cup, you know.
Yeah.
But that cup, you got to empty it out.
Yeah, exactly. Or get more cups.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Get more cups. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, maybe my corporate cup is full.
Sure.
I have a brand new cup.
But you look like you're in your best health and wellness phase of your, you know, since I've known you.
Oh, yeah.
Not that you were not in great shape before or emotionally in a good place, but you feel energetically peaceful.
Yeah.
I see you training. I see you like getting healthy in a bigger, even better ways. I see you with photos with your daughter and things like this and just like enjoying life together, traveling and bringing her in your life more and those trips. I'm sure you did that before too. And so you're able to experience things in a different way to allow for things to open up, which I think is
absolutely,
great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But that's also, like I said, part of the learning of this, you know, which is just like, I don't have to have had things complete in order to move to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure there are people who would look at my career and say, oh, but you haven't done that thing yet. You know, don't you think you should do that before you retire?
Right.
You know, but like, do I need it?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so it's like,
right.
why continue? You know, why continue to do that thing? So again, I think is a lot of it really just has to do with self-reflection at the end of the day.
Yes.
You know, listening to your own spirit, listening to your own needs and wants, and making sure that you're not lying to yourself, you know, based on the stories that other people have told you, based on narratives that are running around the planet that you've accepted as the truth and maybe were lies.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I feel like there's such an opportunity for me too. You know, to relook at everything and be a healthier human and focus more on like, my physical health.
Yes.
And focus on my relationship with my daughter, you know, explore the planet in ways that I haven't before. Mm. You know, like in 2022, I did a little Instagram reel about this that every month last year, I worked out in a different country.
You worked out in a different country.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It was fantastic.
That's awesome.
But, you know, it was like, God, what a dream. you know, to be in a place where I'm financially secure enough to do that.
That's cool.
Where I have the time to do that.
You spend 20 years building your career and you're, you know, stacking your income and saving and investing so that you have the opportunity after 20 years to do that.
Yeah, and to take advantage of it now.
And enjoy it.
Yeah.
And have an urgency around it.
Man, because like, what am I going to do when I'm 75? Well, hopefully I'll still be working out and still healthy. But you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, waiting for that is not the answer. Mm. So even in that, I have urgency. Mm.
So there's this, you know, I love your story about you were satisfied at 20-something years old in the back of the, you know, the cab or the black car, and you're satisfied now. And I think a lot of people hear this concept of never be satisfied. Mm-hmm. But we were just talking about how, you know, be satisfied with where you are, but also be striving for your purpose, your mission, and stepping into that.
Yeah.
And what are your thoughts on the idea of never be satisfied?
You know what? I understand why somebody would say that. You know, like, you should always be hungry. Like, you should always be chasing. That's a good motivator, you know, to get the next thing so that you wake up and you want to go get it. But that's a terrible way to live. Mm. You know? It's a complete... I vehemently disagree with the concept that you should never be satisfied. You know, it's like, you should be satisfied. You should be satisfied. You should wake up feeling satisfied with your life. Mm. It doesn't mean that you don't want the next thing. Of course you want the next thing. But, like, if life were to end today, would you want to have lived an unsatisfied life? Mm,
no.
Would you want, like I think, I really do think of Peter at those last days, you know, and think about all the things that he was unsatisfied about. I don't want that for myself. I don't want that for you.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us should live that way.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. When you're at your best, you can do great things. But sometimes life gets you bogged down and you may feel overwhelmed or like you're just not showing up the way you want to. Working with a therapist can help you get closer to the best version of yourself. Before I got into podcasting, I was a professional football player and I had a career-ending injury that turned that dream upside down for me. And since I didn't have the tools then that I have now, from years and years of therapy, I would ruminate on the same negative thoughts and feelings that held me back from reaching my goals. And if you're thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's convenient, flexible, affordable, and entirely online. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Take it from me, therapy changed the course of my life for the better. Don't let suppressed feelings control your emotions and in turn, your life's trajectory. If you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can get you there. Visit BetterHelp.com/Lewis today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/LEWIS. This year, learn more than ever before with Wondrium. Wondrium is an educational platform with content covering almost any topic you can imagine. Wondrium hosts documentaries, series, lessons, how-tos, and more, all together covering just about anything you can imagine. With Wondrium, you get a huge selection of videos, over 8,000 hours, flexibility to switch to audio only, which is also great for multitasking, quality programs that are expert-led, easy to follow, and beautifully filmed. Watch on your phone, tablet, TV, or computer with no commercials, no tests, or stress. I'm on a lifelong journey of bettering myself in order to serve others, and meditation is a huge part of that journey for me. So if you're on your own meditation journey, I highly recommend checking out the 21-Day Meditation Challenge with my friend Light Watkins. It's so powerful. Learn about what you love and love learning about it with Wondrium. Do what I did. Sign up for Wondrium today. And right now, my listeners can get 2 years of Wondrium for the price of one, but it's only available if you sign up through my special URL. Go to wondrium.com/greatness. That's WONDRIUM.com/greatness. WONDRIUM.com/greatness.
So be satisfied. You know, and that doesn't mean lesser than.
Be satisfied, you know? Even if you're just starting out as an assistant getting coffee, if you're the CEO, if you're anywhere in between, if you're in an off season.
Yes.
Be satisfied.
Be satisfied. Be satisfied with like how wonderful you have it. You know, even the least of us, even the people who are like, you know, in this terrible place, like I said, like, we can be satisfied. Like, the day after Peter died, it was a few days later because we were having his funeral. He died on December 11th, 2013. It was 4 days before his 44th birthday. Mm. And so on his 44th birthday, December 15th, we had his funeral.
Wow.
And made it a party.
Wow.
And I was sitting there and, you know, kind of in a haze, but then also, you know, that moment of clarity where I'm looking around the room and like his fraternity brothers are drinking beers and they're sharing stories about him. And, you know, my daughter's like sleeping on my mom's lap and I've got my sisters like in the corner trying to busy themselves, you know, like getting out plates of food and whatnot. And you see people connecting. And it was the oddest thought. You know, I looked around and I was just like, wow, like, this is a good group of people.
Mm.
You know, this is a great place to be,
no.
to have this. And so I was satisfied in that moment. The most terrible thing had happened in my life. But I was looking around and feeling very satisfied with who I had around me. And that, I think, is what I would like for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
To consider.
Yeah.
That even when things are bad and going wrong, you can still be satisfied. You can still feel like, ah, this is it. And it is okay.
Mm.
Yeah? It's okay.
I'm a big fan of the title of the book, The Urgent Life. And when I saw this, I was just thinking to myself, yes, right away, because we have like similar, completely different experiences, but similar feelings probably from experiences we've had. My father got in an accident. He had a traumatic brain injury and was in a coma for 3 months when I was 21.
Wow.
And I remember we didn't know if he was going to live or die, but he eventually woke up after 3 months. And he was a completely different person. Wow. Like, he was physically alive, but emotionally and mentally kind of gone. It took him a while to like learn how to talk again. He wasn't able to work anymore. He had amnesia. So when I'd see him, he'd be like, what's your name again? It was just a different type of relationship, right? I had to learn to love my father for who he was and start to grieve the man that he once was before, right?
God.
And I remember thinking he was in his early 50s when this happened. He had worked so hard for 30 years as a life insurance salesman, where he finally was starting to make money, where he could like travel and have some freedom in his life. And he was starting to feel like he was happy for the first time, fully happy.
Yeah.
And then this accident happened. And I remember being really angry at life that my dad didn't get to go live the rest of his life the way he wanted to. And I felt like I had so much urgency to go pursue everything I wanted, like from that moment on.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not going to let any fear or insecurity hold me back. It might still be there, but I'm at least going to take the actions on my goals, my dreams, and live urgently. Because what if this happens to me? What if I get in a car accident tomorrow?
Yeah.
And something like that happens to me, I'd be sad that I didn't at least go try. And this, you know, again, completely different experience you had, but it created a feeling of urgency in your life with your ex-husband, right?
Yeah,
with your husband.
Yeah.
And which was almost 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. 10 years this December.
And can you explain the story about what had happened with your husband around wanting to get divorced and then
the
cancer situation and how being in a very dark, sad, challenging time, sad time, wanted you to create urgency at the same time and live into your best self during sadness. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Ugh. Well, first of all, I really appreciate what you just said and shared about your dad, you know, because I feel that for all of us who are living this life on this like hurtling rock that we call home, we don't always have to have had the same experience to understand essentially the concept of what I'm talking about.
Right.
You know, this need for urgency. And it's not necessarily about the rush through life. It's about the intention. You know, knowing, like you said, like, you know, I want to do these things because what if? So then you're intentional about saying, okay, I want to live a big life, or I want to go do this thing that I'm dreaming of, or I want to push a little harder because, like, what if, right? And the same thing for me in that, like, I don't think of the end of life in this morbid way where I'm just like, oh, today might be my last day. I don't think of it in a morbid way. It's very inspiring to me, actually. It makes me want to get up and go do the thing, you know? And again, it's not about a rush. It's like, I want to make the best use of my time that I have. I don't know how long it is, but I want to make the best use of it. And I'm also conscious of the fact that I won't do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means that I have to be very intentional about the things I choose to do. You know?
Yes.
Because if you walk around thinking like, oh, I have the time, I'll just do everything at some point, oof, then maybe you don't get to do anything at all. So I'm intentional in knowing that like, oh, okay, I might not get a chance to complete everything. So what's the most important thing?
Right.
And then I want to do those things.
Right.
And so at the time in December of 2013, when Peter passed away, we were there, you know, where, you know, the stories are true. You're sitting at the deathbed and you're talking about all the things you wish you'd done.
Mm. Is that what he was saying?
Oh, yeah. We talked about so much.
Oh, man.
The things he wanted to do, his hopes and dreams, what he wants for Lael, our daughter, like what he wanted for her in the future. You know, all of those things. And I was sitting there listening and thinking and crying and making promises and all of the things and knowing that I need to change the way I live.
Mm.
You know, he wouldn't have a chance to do it over. So I need to do it, you know? And it was such a dark time also because we were already going through so much on top of being at death's door, you know, that like our marriage had fallen apart. We had been separated for a couple of years already through so much, oh gosh, additional traumas that happened to us, misunderstandings, anger, you know, that we couldn't overcome with just love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you
unmet think that expectations, like, everything, yeah.
Oh man, you think love conquers everything. And love, no, it does not.
Love is not enough.
Love is not enough. You know, love is not enough. And it was all of that turmoil that led us to that moment where I am sitting holding his hand and his breath gets shallower and shallower, you know, and thinking about all the things I would have done differently if I had a shot to do it again. You know, it's not necessarily that like, oh, I wish life had turned out differently. It's just that I wish I had been motivated differently.
Mm. What were you motivated by before then?
Oh man. I think at that time I was motivated by just my own need for my own life.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Not really focused on anybody else's.
Mm.
And that sounds very selfish, but that's where I was.
Right.
You know, it was not, I was a mother and a wife, but I was still only focused on myself.
Really?
Yeah.
At that time.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, there was so much that had happened on my path to motherhood. And it's another one of the things that, like, you know, now I talk about so openly because we also paint motherhood like it's supposed to be like this great, amazing thing that, like, oh, you get pregnant. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, all this love shows up from nowhere. And you're just like encapsulated by this person. It's like, no, that actually doesn't happen all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
moments of that might happen.
Moments of that might happen, but
the majority of time is probably like, look, cleaning diapers and feeding and pumping and all the things that moms have to
and
do.
And sitting there and being like, oh hell, I made a mistake.
Right.
This is not what I wanted in my life. Mm. You know, and struggling with that. And there were so many times where I thought about that. You know, it's like, wow, like, you know, is this life what I actually wanted? And so then at that moment in December of 2013, I was like, oh, no, I have to make the life that I want. I have to make it. I have to be an active participant in it. You don't just sit back and let the life happen to you.
Right.
You have to make it.
Wow. What was the biggest lesson during that time you feel like you learned about his regrets, or about him not doing the things that he wanted to do?
Yeah.
What opened up for you during that time that shifted, if anything did shift for you in that?
This might sound funny, but I think logic is what surprised me most.
Uh-huh.
The logic of things. You know, the writing down. It's like almost like the writing down of the plan.
Mm.
You know, things that make sense. Because you're like, oh, I'm going to do these things. I'm logically going to take these steps in order to get to that thing, right? And all of his regrets, everything that he wanted to do that he didn't get a chance to do, was based on the logic of the steps to get to that thing that he never got to.
Like just scheduling it in the calendar or like
making the to-do list. And then it's like, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And then all based on logic. Life is not made of logic. Life is magic. It's the accidental encounters.
Mm-hmm.
It's the things that you can't explain. the feeling that you get in your belly that makes you feel alive and glittery, or it makes you super sad and you don't want to get out of bed and the sky just looks gray. And then maybe one thing happens, you're like, oh, okay, I can do it. You know, that's life. And being open to that is actually what gives you the experiences. So therefore, when perhaps you don't accomplish everything that was on your plan, you still feel really happy mm-hmm. about the things that you did do, because it was also magical. You know, and I'm not talking about like these big firework things. I'm talking about the little stuff too. You know, the new person that you meet on the way to somewhere, you know, or like the like meal that you had that you didn't think was going to be delicious that you just really savored.
Yeah.
It was like, it was just magically amazing, you know, and just being appreciative of those moments. So again, it's like the life is not just about like the big, big, big stuff. It's not the headlines. You know, so to me, it's like logic is what I then threw out the window.
Interesting.
I was like, oh, I'm not going to live a logical life. I'm going to live a magical life. The kind that is open to all of the things I can't explain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that like the writing down of the list and the making the steps. Da, 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 nah. You know, and I'm not saying that you walk around just like, huh, na-da-da-da-da, whatever happens today is what happens. You know, like, look, we all got to be responsible adults.
Sure.
Okay. But the truth of the matter is that like, how many of our plans have been stopped because of logic? The things that you said, like, ah, well, shoot, I can't do that because of this reason, that reason, and that reason. And sometimes it's other people's logic that actually mm-hmm. stops you from doing the things you want to do. And so I want to stop that. I've been active in being like, every time I approach a new ambition or a new idea or like, oh, I want to take a trip here, and that logic starts to come in, I'm like, girl, where's that magic? You better just step out and let the magic find you.
Ooh, yeah.
You know? And not stop yourself because the math is mathing.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense logically.
It doesn't make sense logically.
Allow wonder and synchronicity
yes,
to enter your life.
To happen. Mm-hmm. Louis, I can't tell you how many things have happened in my life that don't make sense.
Right.
The fact that I've had the career I've had doesn't make sense. It's not logical. There's no stat. Even when you look at things like, oh, you know, how many black women CMOs have had jobs at, you know, for like Fortune 50 companies, mm-hmm. there's no math. There's no data point because it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
But I exist. So can you explain that? Mm. No, you cannot. So opening yourself up to like these things is what actually creates your destiny to like run the way that it should. Mm. You know? I'll give you one example. Yeah. When Peter died in December of 2013, I was at PepsiCo. Mm-hmm. I'd been there for 10 years.
Wow.
It was a great job. You know, I'd done an many iterations of things. And at that time, I was the head of music and entertainment marketing. And so I had been part of the team that did deal with the NFL for the Super Bowl halftime show. I put Beyonce on that stage. Like, it was like, you know, it was huge. Having a great, exciting career. And then Peter died. And I looked around and I was like, man, like, you know, I think I want to do more things. You know, am I going to sit here for another 10 years in New York City? Like, doing this, or have I had enough of this? And as I formulated that thought, I went to, I think it was NBA All-Star or something like that. And I met somebody that I knew very, you know, lightly, who told me that Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre had started their company Beats Music off of the back of Beats by Dre, and that they were looking for a head of marketing. Would I be interested? And the job was in LA. Mm. My husband had been dead maybe 2 months.
Mm.
I had a 4-year-old child that I was trying to figure out how to raise by myself.
Right.
You know, like all these things. And so logic would tell you that, no, sit your down.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, situate your life. Figure out how to be a widow and a single mom and the main breadwinner. Like, figure that stuff out. Calm down. Get some therapy. You know, just like sit and be quiet for a second. Grieve. Let a year go by and then figure out what you want to do. But instead, I was like, it really doesn't make any sense for me to leave Pepsi, a long established company, and go to Beats Music, where it's barely a company.
Like, some new thing, yeah.
I didn't know what music streaming was. I had no idea what the hell that was. I had no idea. But I came to LA and took a meeting with Jimmy, and he was talking about stuff that I had no idea about. And when I resigned from PepsiCo to take the job, everybody told me it was a bad idea. Mm. Louis, when I tell you, there was not one person who supported it. Wow. Not even my mother.
Wow.
No one. Everybody thought I'd lost my mind. People thought I was acting out of grief. Maybe I was. You know, but the magic was that that opportunity opened up the next 10 yeah. years of my life.
Yeah.
It was the magic, the spark that I needed. It changed everything for me, Lewis.
And
everything.
And what would have happened if you would have listened to everyone else's fears and not made the jump?
My friend, that's a great unknown. I'd be sitting maybe still at PepsiCo, perhaps unsatisfied with where I was. You know, there's lots of friends that I have who are still there. In fact, I got a text from a friend about 2 days ago who just left after 34 years of PepsiCo. And now she's trying to figure out what next to do. And so she called me to ask for advice.
Yeah, you're the pro. You've like, done this before.
You know, and I just wonder for her even, you know, it's like, what if you'd spent 20 years there?
Interesting.
The last 14 years, what would you have done? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to get to the end of my life and ask that question. I don't want to sit there and say like, oh man, what would I have done if I'd taken that leap? Just tried that other thing. Yeah. Maybe you fail, but that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, you can pick yourself up again.
Sure.
It's okay.
For sure.
Yeah.
I'm curious. So this is, I guess, the 10-year anniversary coming up at the end of this year of him passing.
Yeah.
What do you feel like he'd be most proud of you that you overcame over these 10 years?
Mm.
If he were able to watch you and speak to you, I'm sure maybe he speaks to you in other ways, but if he was speaking to you here in this world, what would be the thing he's most proud of you?
I think he'd be proud of the fact that I didn't let fear stop me. Mm-hmm. From anything.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all, or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included, but you don't take yada yada in life, so don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide. When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too, in person or on the phone with your local agent, or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know, because we talked about that a lot too, you know, this, like, it was so scary when he was diagnosed, because it really felt like it came out of nowhere. Yeah. I'm sure other people probably feel that same way, right? Where something disastrous happens and you're like, oh my God, what? You know, nobody's planning for trauma. Nobody plans for disaster. And so I think it's easy and probably excusable if I were to carry on life looking around corners and being scared of what was coming. You know, what if I leave here and something happens to me? What if I find a lump? What if? You know, and living my life sort of caged that way. I don't think anyone would blame me. I don't think anybody would say, like, ah, oh, Bose, like, you just wasting your life. Like, stop being so afraid. Right, I don't think any, of all the experiences in my life, I don't think anybody would tell me that I was living life wrong if I was cautious. And so I think he'd be proud of the fact that I am not cautious. That I'm freer today than I was 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm living bigger today than I was 10 years ago. And I hope he would be proud of that.
That's cool. I'm sure he is. I wanted to ask you about what you said about, you know, when you had your child and you realized that your life was completely different. It wasn't like, oh, it's perfect. Everything is perfect. The first 2 to 4 years and I have all this love and it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of, it sounded like you were kind of, you know, resentful a little bit of this experience, right? Which it sounds to me is common for a lot of moms.
Yeah.
And I've heard a lot of moms think it's going to be one way.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first year, it's like a slap in the face. And you get 2 hours of sleep a night and this and that. And your identity changes.
Yes.
And, which is beautiful, but it's also a grieving part that happens as well, right? It's
absolutely.
Like you're grieving an old identity and stepping into motherhood, which is... I think there's a lot of women that relate to that.
Yeah.
How did you... after his passing, learn to, I guess, embrace it in a different way or have a different relationship with motherhood?
Yeah.
Or do you still have that same kind of feeling from 10 years ago? You know, how did you experience it?
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, I mean, it was, everything was so dramatic at the time that even my own thought of motherhood changed dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do remember the moment it happened. I was sitting...
Like your mom, you shift your relationship to motherhood?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I remember it's very, very clear to me. Leah was 4 when Peter died. And I was sitting in our bed. And it was like shortly after the funeral and, you know, people had gone home and it was super quiet. I was still on bereavement leave. And Leah had climbed into my bed, you know, was sleeping next to me. And I remember like looking at her and just thinking like, oh my God, I have to do this by myself.
Wow.
You know, and the terror of that. Because again, in all honesty, Peter was the one who wanted children.
Mm.
I wasn't sure I wanted kids. You know, and then all of a sudden I was like, oh, okay. Oh, so you decide. You left.
You
and left
put
me
this
here.
On me.
You know what I mean? And left me here with her. What am I supposed to do now? And looking at her and feeling that terror. And anger and confusion, uncertainty, and thinking, God, she's 4.
Mm.
Like, I got to do this for a long time by myself. And also feeling like I didn't have the answers, you know, feeling like I was ill-prepared for it. And so I did probably what mothers shouldn't do, and I shook her awake.
She was asleep.
Oh, she was asleep. Oh. It was the middle of the night. She was asleep.
You woke her up.
I woke her up. Yeah, woke her up.
What'd
and
you
I,
say
as
to her?
I look at her, and I was like, and I didn't know what to say, but I just looked at her, and she's like sleeping and looking like, yes, mom. You know, all innocent looking, and she's got these big doe eyes, and she's like looking at me all sweetly. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing.
You said this to her?
Yeah, I'm saying this to her. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Wow.
And she's looking at me, and clearly uncomprehending, right? But I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. And I need your help.
Wow.
And she's like, okay.
Is this a dream? Is this my wake?
Like, okay. And I was like, I need you to tell me whatever you need. I need us to communicate, okay? Because I don't know how to figure out how to do this. So we're going to do it together.
Wow.
And all she said was, okay, mommy. And she went right back to sleep.
Wow.
And Louis, I'm telling you, that was the moment. That was the moment everything changed for me. Because the thing is, I think before that, I had seen her as like a responsibility. You know, like I was supposed to step into this role of motherhood and like have the answers and know the thing and lead the way. You know, but that moment, I just felt so inadequate and so lost. And the one person... who I felt could help me was the person I'm supposed to be responsible for.
Mm.
And so it changed our relationship because even at 4, at that point, literally the next day, I was like, okay, now look, here's what's going on. What do you think of this?
Oh.
You know what I mean? And it became more of a partnership, a partnership in raising her than me having all the answers all the time. It also freed me from having to always be perfect. You know, that like I could grieve in front of her and I could be confused in front of her and I could say, I don't know. What do you think? Mm. You know, or like when, you know, a few years later, things got super busy and I was not available and, you know, I'm running around and other people were critical of the fact that like, you know, I'm like this working mom who's out in the world all the time and where's my kid, you know? And like, I could go to her and say like, hey, so what do you think about this? Are you upset with me? Mm. Is this terrible? Is it a terrible experience? You know what I mean?
Right.
And
get feedback.
Yeah. And also give her the power to tell me. Mm-hmm. It dynamically changed the way we are. And now she's 13 and a half and has a very big say in how we are and what we do. And she's just such a blessing. Mm. You know, she's a wonderful person. And I would absolutely be her friend if I wasn't her mom.
Wow.
You know, like I love her not just because I'm supposed to. I love her because she's an awesome human being. Mm-hmm. And I really value our relationship.
Wow. What's the biggest lesson she's taught you?
Oh, man. That you don't have to be perfect in order to do a good job. Mm. You know? I'm certainly not a perfect mother, I'll tell you that. Mm. but she tells me all the time how great I am. You know? I wasn't home for my birthday, just this birthday I celebrated, and she wrote me a text and just with gratitude. You know? She was just like, thank you so much for everything that you do. And I was just like, man, let me brush my shoulders off. You know what I mean? So yeah, you don't have to be perfect. To be really great.
Yeah. You're in this transition phase now, right? Because you left your previous role at your career. When was that?
February last year.
So almost a year.
Yeah.
So you've been in transition from essentially going to the biggest companies and speaking and writing books and all these different things that have happened for you to essentially pausing, making the next jump, making the next decision and going bigger. In the career aspect. Obviously, you got an amazing book out, but what have you learned in a year of pausing, making the decision on what to do next in terms of career? Obviously, you're making other life decisions and taking care of your health, and I see you doing all the things and living your best life all over the world that you do, and all your Instagram is great. but in terms of like career decision-making, what have you learned in this last year that you could share for others who might be in a transition, trying to figure out, I feel like I got to make a decision. Mm.
You know, I felt like the last 10 years of my life have all been really big changes and really big jobs and, you know, some risk and like all the things we've talked about, you know, that have led me to bigger and bigger and bigger. Ambition has driven me very much so.
Yeah.
Along with my gut. Uh-huh. But it's been like just got this and do that. And there's lots of headlines and lots of press and first to do this and first to do that, you know, lots of those. And stepping away from all of that, I had to consider my ego.
Yes.
You know, putting that in check because it was the first thing that assaulted me. You know what I mean? That first thing that made me think like, oh, but gosh, who am I without that title? Do people still like me?
What's my identity?
Look, okay? Does the phone stop ringing? People stop asking you for favors and asking you to dinner?
Interesting.
And sometimes that happens.
It happens. When you're not in that position.
When you're not in that position, people will stop calling you.
Stop inviting you.
Oh, man. Okay.
Stop needing you.
All of the things. And so then, you know, it's like the addiction to that kicks in, right? And having to figure out like, okay, do I want another job because like I like the work? I like the thing that I'm doing? Or is it my ego? Am I trying to fulfill other people's expectations of me? Do I feel less than because I don't have this thing? That's been a tough one. It's been a tough lesson. I had no idea that that lesson existed before I stepped away. And by the way, I wasn't even expecting it. Because look, I think the last thing somebody would say about me is that I'm not confident. You know? But look, there have been plenty of times I've been sitting there like, ooh, but how, really? Like, am I really as great as I think I am?
Really? In the last year?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Lots of moments like that where I'm just like, well, if I was so good, maybe I could just turn around and get another C-suite job somewhere. Show them. But who am I showing?
Yeah.
Who are you proving? Who am I proving it to? And do they really matter? You know, do they really, really matter? And so I felt like that was my ego working on me versus like what is actually good for me in my life. At this moment in time, as I am evolving as a human, evolving as a mom, evolving as a partner, evolving as a friend, as a daughter, as a sister, even as a leader, you know, like there's big evolution happening in my life.
Yes.
And I had to realize that some of that motivation was based on ego and not based on what I actually need in my life.
Which is what?
Which is my own pursuit to get to my destiny. My ego stopping me from doing that. Because it's so easy to slip back into the thing that's comfortable. And some people would say that like, oh, well, a C-suite job is not comfortable. I can guarantee you it's tough as hell.
Mm-hmm.
But it is what I know.
It's familiar.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
there's some comfort in that.
Yeah.
There's comfort in that.
How does someone know when they're being led by their ego versus a more meaningful mission?
Mm-hmm.
That is...
Yeah.
What their destiny is pulling them to do versus what their ego says, this is going to make me look really good
or
prove people wrong.
Yeah.
Or...
Well, that's just it. I think it's the why.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you want it? And being really honest with the answer.
Yeah.
You know, because like, look, I had some offers after I left Netflix, people who reached out and that felt good, you know. I didn't go pursue anybody. I wasn't like, oh, look, I'm available. Here's my resume. You know, people are calling me. And saying like, oh, so I just heard you left. Have you considered X, Y, and Z thing? Come over here. Entice.
Give me this stock option.
Yeah,
give me this signing bonus and this.
Yeah,
and this title. The press.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's going to be fabulous, you know? And, yeah, it was very tempting. And I was also sick and tired of people saying like, well, we know you've got an announcement coming. We're waiting for you to say what you're going to do next. I know it's going to be big. Oh, God. I was tired of that, too. And so I had to stop and ask, well, why do you want this, Bose? Why do you want this? Why do you want this job? You know, and being really honest, because you can lie to yourself, too, a lot, right?
100%.
It's like, oh, yeah. No, I need it because, you know, I haven't worked in this industry before, and I'm going to learn something new in this job. And, oh, you know, I've always wanted to work with this person.
Right. It'd be great for my resume. Ah. It'd be great for this. Yeah, yeah.
I could get this other title and, you know, I'm going to break this boundary and, oh my God, aren't I such an inspiration? You know, you can lie to yourself and tell yourself like, oh yeah, these are the reasons why. Oh man. But then you got to, at least for me, I had to really unpack that and sit and say, no, for real. Like you lying, girl, you know you're lying.
Yeah. When you look in the mirror and you actually ask yourself, am I doing this for the right reasons?
Am I doing this for the right reasons? And no, I don't need another experience like that. I've had enough.
Yeah, 6 or 7 of them is enough.
I mean, seriously, you know, and like, look, yeah, it's, I would say it's somewhat embarrassing, or I felt embarrassed when people would say like, oh, so what are you doing now? And I would say, well, I'm on a break. And they'd look at me in confusion and be like, but why? You know what I mean? Or like feeling like, oh, shoot, I didn't get invited to that dinner. You know, and knowing that, oh, it's because I don't have a title that people can work off of or trade in for some kind of value.
How have you learned to, like, again, by no means are you not as relevant as you were a year ago or something with the title, but with the feeling of, oh, I'm not getting as much maybe as a year ago of calls, although you're still getting lots of opportunities and people are calling you, but just that feeling of not being as relevant, or maybe I won't be relevant if I don't do this in the next 2 to 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
How are you addressing that internally?
Yeah.
Around relevancy or audience or, you know, being in the press as much as you're used to.
Yeah.
Because I know actors deal with this, with like having this pause season.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, my audience isn't growing. I'm not getting announcements. I'm not doing the red carpets. I'm not doing the things.
Ugh, that's a really hard one, Lewis. Because here's the truth of it, right? Which is that I'm a competitor, a natural competitor.
You're a
been
winner.
An athlete. Yes, always been like, and look, I haven't necessarily been competing against other people, although sometimes I have been, mm-hmm. but also competing against myself, mm-hmm. you know, because I set those bars and I'm just like, okay, I'm going to go do this now. You know what I mean? And then winning at that and feeling like, yeah, I did that. Yeah, I crushed it, you know? And I have, to some degree, felt that way about this transition too, if I'm being totally honest about it, which is like, okay, yeah, I can step away from corporate life and crush something else. I'm going to go do this. You know, being an author is something new. And it's like, I'm going to win at that. But then I had, I would call it a moment of panic, probably over the holidays. You know, it's like this moment is quickly approaching of like, oh, the book's going to be out. And then what?
What's next?
And then what?
Right.
What happens? You know what I'm saying? So
and you don't have a plan.
Yeah. Okay, now, what do I crush next? What happens? You know? And am I even going to crush it? You know? Like there's that uncertainty. And the way that I'm sort of managing it, if there's a way to manage it, is that I'm thinking about the phases in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, and thinking about like, you know, when you sit and look backwards and you look at the inflection points. And you can appreciate them, you know, and say, okay, when this happened and mm-hmm. then, ooh, everything changed, right? And I am trying to be mindful of the fact that I'm in one right now. Mm-hmm. This very moment is one. And so.
And when you look back 10 years ago to with what you went through, there was a lot of lessons and blessings and opportunities that came from the pain, the trauma, the tragedy, the suffering.
Yes.
You wouldn't be where you're at. Without 10 years ago, those things happening.
At all. And so in those moments, mm-hmm. and truly, this is what happened. When I got panicked and I was like, ooh, girl, then what do you do? You know, the book comes out, then what? You know, and I'm just like, wow. But like, think of what will happen in 10 years from now when I look back at this moment and think like, oh, you know what happened after that? You know, so just continuing to be open and being intentional about that. So the urgency in my life now isn't like, you know, how can I like crush this next opportunity and just like make this pivot be the best pivot ever? And, you know, people are going to be so inspired by the fact that I moved and did this and did that. I'm so brave. It's like, no, my urgency is in actually just being present, mm. you know, in this very moment in time and feeling like, wow, like there's so much to be thankful for the opportunity to change.
Yeah.
You know, for the opportunity to do something new. Mm-hmm. Become somebody else.
Absolutely.
Find a different title. God.
I think it's really cool that you're in this season, actually. And you know, you're talking about the phases of life. Mm. I like to think about it as seasons. And as an athlete, you know that there's always an off season.
Yes.
A time of reflection. Mm. Do I want to go play the sport again next season? Mm-hmm. Do I want to put in the training for this same sport? Mm. Do I have a different sport I want to play? Do I have a different thing I want to take on in my life?
Yeah.
And I think sometimes driven individuals don't take time for an off season to reflect. And it's scary to sit and listen and recover. And after a decade, you know, well, more than a decade of your career, but a decade of since that happening, it sounds like this is the perfect time to take a season and reflect.
Yeah.
And that might be 2 weeks. It might be two years, 2 months. It might be any type of time.
Yeah.
And I really acknowledge you for being in it, you know, because I know how it can feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But also being open to it and speaking about it as opposed to letting it consume you, saying, yeah, I've got it all figured out, but saying I'm in a season of recovery and listening to my voice of where I'm supposed to be called to next. And I think that's really cool because a lot of people, I think, struggle with that. And, and hearing you say it gives permission for others to feel like they're not alone in this place.
Oh, yeah. No. Because we all struggle with that. We just don't want to admit it, like you said, you know? Mm-hmm. But I also am working from a place of trust of myself, you know, and trust in my destiny, actually.
Yes.
You know, having the faith that, like, look, I've been in some, you know, some really, 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 really terrible places, and I was able to move in it, you know? And so it's like, even if I don't know what's coming, I have a lot of trust that it's going to be all right.
Because you've gotten through a bunch of stuff before.
I've gone through a bunch of it.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's something in that too, where when I do feel afraid of like what happens next or whew, man, people have so many expectations of me. You know, they only expect great things. Nobody expects failure from me.
When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead. Like when you're trying to buy tickets for the best seat at your favorite team's big game, or when you're hiring for your business and you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. With ZipRecruiter, you can find qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I believe finding the right team member is one of the most important steps in setting up my company for success. We like to ensure our new hires will be a good fit before they're even on the team. So I am grateful that I have ZipRecruiter's help when we want to grow the team fast. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I've learned the hard way that constantly holding on to your emotions and repeatedly choosing to not talk about your feelings will only make you feel worse and worse. And up until about 10 or 11 years ago, I was afraid to talk about my trauma that I experienced. And I know we all carry around different stressors, big and small. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. But therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to fit your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Lewis today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/LEWIS.
And what am I going to do if I can't meet those expectations? You know, I sit and think about that. I'm like, look, I've been in some low points. This is not a low point.
Right.
This is not a low point. It's maybe an off season.
Right. Your life is beautiful though.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're living your best life.
It's
you're healthy.
Great.
You're.
I'm healthy. I'm happy. I've got a great kid.
Mm-hmm.
I've got great friends. My family's awesome. Some of them get on my nerves.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, they're awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this is. This is an off season.
Yeah.
I like what you just said. You know, this is an off season, but it's not a low point by any means.
Right.
And so I feel pretty all right.
Yeah.
With like sitting and being like, okay, God, speak to me.
Sure.
Tell me what's next. Sure. What do I do? I just keep sitting here. Okay. You know, I just keep sitting and waiting to see what happens.
What would you like to experience as you move forward into the next thing? Again, it could be 2 years, 10 years, I don't know. But whenever you move into the next thing, what are the feelings that you'd like to have?
Yeah.
Whether it's a career, a business, a nonprofit, supporting someone else, doing it yourself, like no matter what decision you make, what would you like to experience and feel in the decision?
Oh, that's a really complicated one. Because there's a lot of things I want to feel, you know? Some of them are similar to past feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I want to feel accomplished.
Yes.
You know, like I'm doing something. You know, like I'm moving forward in myself too. I want to feel like I'm contributing to society in some capacity. You know, I think the past, all of my career, but especially in the last 10 years, I've had a lot of firsts, you know, being Black, being a woman in spaces. And I have felt really purpose-driven by that to open doors that are really, really heavy.
Yes.
And so I want to continue to feel that, you know, and feel like I have a purpose in that and in a way that will allow for somebody else to come behind me.
Yeah.
You know, and do the things. And so in that way, I want to serve my community that way,
mm-hmm.
you know. And community, not just me and just Black women, but anybody who feels othered. You know, people who feel like, oh, man, they haven't been given a fair shot, you know, because of fill in the blank description,
sure.
identity, you know, and that like, oh, can they look over here and say, ah, but she did, you know, so maybe I can. Like that feeling is so wonderful. And so I want that. I want to continue to do that. I want to continue to feel that. And I feel like there are lots of experiences that are outside of what I've already done that can still accomplish that.
Yeah. What do you feel like will get in your way of making that happen?
Not a goddamn soul. Nothing. I don't see anything that will stop me.
Your ego? Would your ego get in the way or no?
No.
You got a handle on it.
Yeah. I feel like my ego only makes me want to do things that are comfortable or that like are in the past. You know, so if there's any check, it will be that. But right. I'm aware of it. You know, it's so much better to see the boogeyman, you know, shine a light on it and be like, I see you, you know, than like running scared from it. Like the, you know, I know my ego's there. I'm looking at it. And every time I pop his head up, I'm like, I see you. Don't think I don't see you. I see you right there. It makes it much easier to face and like go forward. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I feel like there are many things that could try to get in my way, but it's nothing that like I haven't already seen.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And like if there is something that comes up that I haven't seen before, again, I have faith in myself. There's so many things that came up that were surprises that I overcame. So why would I be afraid of the next thing that comes up? And there's so many of us who do that. God, in everyday life. And so sometimes I look around and like, especially when I'm like, you know, talking to a friend who's just like, oh, girl, I can't do that because of da, da, da. And it's just like, but why? Like, why don't you believe you can do it? You did that thing and that thing and that thing. And again, it doesn't have to be like the world-changing thing that got headlines. But like your everyday accomplishments, the fact that your ass got up today and did this thing, simply went into that workplace that you feel like demeans you.
Mm-hmm.
And you still had a smile on your face.
Right.
Like what an accomplishment that is, you know, or anything that you did.
Sure.
So it's like, why then do you not feel like you have the power to be able to overcome the things, even if they're unknown to you?
Right.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Mm. I'm so excited for you, Bose. The Urgent Life, my story of love, loss, and survival. I want everyone to go get a few copies right now. Get them for your friends if you know someone that you think is in a season of uncertainty, of still recovering from grief or loss in the last few years. There's some amazing lessons, stories, and wisdom in this book, so make sure you guys check it out. And if you're in a season of recovery or a post-season, this is the perfect book to read while you're filling up your health cup and opening other cups. So make sure you guys check this out. How can we best serve and support you with this book? Where can we get it? And how can we find and follow you online?
Well, I am still online as Bose on all platforms. I'm excited about the journey. And so I'd love some more affirmation and support and all the good things, you know, that can come my way. Friends and strangers alike, you know, I love the support. So that's the best way, I think, to help me fill my cup.
So make sure you guys, you know, tag Bose on Instagram or Twitter or wherever and let her know what you enjoyed most from the conversation.
Yes.
What resonated with you, what clicked with you, and message her over there and connect with her on this. And if you get a copy of the book, make sure to tag her as well when you're reading it let her know what you learned from this book. I'm excited for you, Bose.
Thank you.
I'm kind of like, I'm really excited for you because when I look back at my off seasons, they're the best times.
Mm.
Even though they were like some of the scariest and unsure of like, what's my next identity going to be and who am I going to step into? Mm. But as I reflect back and have hindsight on those moments, they were like beautiful times of what I discovered about myself. And I know you're already going to have hindsight now. You know, you're going to be, you can see 10 years out and knowing this is like everything you needed for the next decade.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for you for this season. And I just think it's beautiful. It's beautiful that you're embracing it.
Yes.
You are creating space to then create urgency again.
Yes.
For the thing that you're called to do.
Mm.
Which I'm excited about.
Look, you better speak affirmation. Come on. Let's go get it.
I want to ask you two final questions that I asked you before the last time you came on, which I think was like 4 years ago or something.
I think
it was a while ago. And I think you might have a different perspective from where you were then. So before I ask those questions, I want to acknowledge you again for the space you're in and having the courage to be in the space and be comfortable in this space. Mm. I think as driven individuals, it's hard to take a step back sometimes and reflect and not take action on the next big thing. So I really acknowledge you for being comfortable in a space of not being familiar in this space. It's a beautiful thing. I acknowledge you for sharing your story about love, loss, tragedy, trauma, healing. I think it's really hard to do sometimes, especially when you're used to being a winner, successful, and building. So I really acknowledge you for that. And this is this question I asked you last time, I believe, and I ask everyone at the end. It's a hypothetical scenario. So imagine you live as long as you want to live, but it's your last day. And you create and accomplish everything you can think of. See your daughter grow up, and you live your life, and you have love, and all the things you want to do, they happen. But for whatever reason, everything you've ever created has to go with you. This conversation goes. This book, gone. Everything you've ever said on social media, gone. But you have three lessons you get to share with the world. And this is all we would have to remember your information by. I call it the three truths. What would be those three truths for you?
Oof, gosh. First of all, what a wonderfully visceral, like, picture. I think first, I mean, based on even, like, you know, the way I'm living, that that people would see my life as urgent and see the truth in that. You know, that it wasn't done for the clicks or the praise or anything. But I was living urgently because that's what I was called to do. You know? I would hope that the other truth would be that I am exactly who I am. You know? Never pretending to be anything different. That my flaws were honest, they were known, and that I was still happy in it, you know, that I'm just being. And I would hope, maybe this goes against the rules that you set out, but I would hope that the legacy of my daughter, her children, natural or not, you know, and therefore Peter's, would be happy and satisfied in their life.
Interesting. That's beautiful. Final question, what's your definition of greatness?
Definition of greatness. You're right, this is the hard one. This is such a tough, tough question because it has changed, I think. You know? My definition of greatness has changed so much in the last 10 years and more so in the last year. You know, that now, today, as I sit here, I feel like greatness to me feels like I can get up every day and look at myself and feel totally satisfied. Like, if I can do that every day, like, what a great life to have lived.
Wow.
You know, not being the most successful, not being the richest, not being the most praised or lauded. Maybe not even being the greatest loved, you know, but being satisfied. Yeah, that's great.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
I hope today's episode inspired you on your journey towards greatness. Make sure to check out the show notes in the description for a rundown of today's show with all the important links. And if you want weekly exclusive bonus episodes with me, as well as ad-free listening experience, make sure to subscribe to our Greatness Plus channel on Apple Podcasts. If you enjoyed this, please share it with a friend over on social media or text a friend. Leave us a review over on Apple Podcasts and let me know what you learned over on our social media channels at Lewis House. I really love hearing the feedback from you, and it helps us continue to make the show better. And if you want more inspiration from our world-class guests and content to learn how to improve the quality of your life, then make sure to sign up for the Greatness Newsletter and get it delivered right to your inbox over at greatness.com/newsletter. And if no one has told you today, I want to remind you that you are loved, you are worthy, and you matter. And now it's time to go out there and do something great.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.